In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Whatsoever he shall say to you, do ye. In other words, do whatever he tells you. In today's gospel, Mary teaches us to trust in God, in Christ. Now, what happened in the gospel? Mary noticed that the newlyweds were in danger of being humiliated, and she whispered about it to her son. My hour is not yet come, is what Jesus told his mother. When God tells us to wait, we have a tendency to despair. Jesus' answer seemed to give her no hope. But Mary knew one thing. We must and we need to trust in the Lord completely. When we entrust ourselves to Christ, when we trust, we resemble Mary in her virginity, because virginity in the spiritual sense, in the deepest sense, means belonging entirely and completely and exclusively to Christ. That's trust. And when we trust, we are like Mary also in her motherhood, in her maternity. We are fertile. We are able to give birth to Christ in new and ever new children of God. By opening ourselves to trust, like Mary, we protect ourselves against self-will. We protect ourselves from the voice that says, I will not serve, non serviam, what Lucifer said. We protect ourselves from whatever fantasies we might cook up on our own. That's a poison. Do whatever he tells you bursts the bubble of fantasy. Do whatever he tells you snaps us out of all our delusions. Fantasy and delusion. Let's talk about that for a second. Think about all the ideologies, all of the rival systems, all of the so-called isms of the 18th and the 19th and the 20th centuries, and now in our own century. These ideologies were designed to replace our holy faith. And now, look around at what's happening. We see that anything, any word or gesture that bursts the bubble of ideology is strangled in the crib. It is killed, it's murdered right away, because any ideology, any replacement faith, is just a castle on a cloud. It's a fantasy. And it can't withstand the truth. It cannot handle the truth. In our time of pandemonium, as in all times and all places, our Lord is the truth. Ego sum via et veritas et vita. I am the way and the truth and the life, says the Lord. And that's in this very same Gospel of John. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, says the Lord in the same Gospel. Now, at the wedding of Cana, the bride and the groom were in crisis, albeit a minor crisis. Well, we are in a moment of crisis, and it is most certainly a major crisis. And so we arrive at Regency England in the 1810s and the 1820s. This could remind you of high school English class, because a lot of good poems were written during Regency England. Regency England and our time here in America right now are very similar, I think. In Regency England, beginning of the 19th century, everyone knew that there had been a revolution in France, and everything changed. And young people, especially young people, thought, oh, heaven has come. It's the age of Aquarius. But then it fell apart. And in France, it fell apart in blood, with the Great Terror and the guillotine and Napoleon's wars. And then, in the ruins of the revolution, thinking people said, maybe the values of the revolution were wrong. Maybe those ideas are what made this mess. But if you said that in Regency England, you got nailed. You were attacked. The poet Wordsworth changed his mind about the French Revolution, and fancy people wrote nasty poems about him. I think today they would send out a tweet. And now we come to Childe Harold's Pilgrimage. It's a long poem written by Lord Byron. It was published in parts in 1812 and 1816, so right in the very middle of this period. Childe Harold's Pilgrimage is the poem that made Byron famous, and it introduced what's called the Byronic hero. Who is that? It's a sad man tired of sin, tired of sexual immorality, tired of the collapse of virtue that the French Revolution had caused. And so he goes on a pilgrimage. And he is worried, he says, and this is 200 years ago, he is worried that opinion has become king. He says, opinion and omnipotence. That means opinion is all-powerful. That's a bad thing. Here's Byron. Opinion and omnipotence, whose veil mantles the earth with darkness until right and wrong are accidents, and men grow pale, lest their own judgments should become too bright, and their free thoughts be crimes, and earth have too much light. And thus they plod in sluggish misery, rotting from sire to son and age to age. Opinion and omnipotence, and men grow pale because their free thoughts are crimes. Don't tell me that you don't see our world in these old lines. The church knows human nature never changes. So, how do we get out of this satanic fog of delusion, of self-will? How do we get out of the fog? Whatsoever he shall say to you, do ye. Look to the Blessed Mother. Listen to the Virgin Mary, and she will direct you to her Son, always to Jesus. I call this a time of pandemonium. Pandemonium in Milton is the capital city of hell. But even here, even in the pits of hell, there is no Lord but Jesus. There is no name more powerful than the holy name of Jesus. And the Lord's chosen one, the Electa, as we say in Latin, is Mary. It's his mother. It's when we are in a fog, it's when we are in the pits of hell, that Our Lady's voice comes through, bright as a star, clear as a bell, whatsoever he shall say to you, do ye. It's right in this gospel. Do whatever he tells you. And it's do whatever he tells you, not think about it. Do it. Not do whatever they tell you. Do whatever he tells you. Jesus. Jesus is king. I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In war and in peace, in good times and in bad times, do whatever he tells you. Do it. If you are afraid to speak, they've already won. Speak the name of Jesus. Trust in him. Trust Jesus here in his church. And the jars will be filled with water, and the water will be turned into wine, and the feast will go on in majesty. Do whatever he tells you, and you will never regret it. Do whatever he tells you, and you shall be saved. Amen.